To the Jump Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Text line 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with me, your show host? That's what you do. You text me, and we will proceed accordingly. Joining us now on the line, he is formerly the congressman for the 1st Congressional District. Jerry Carl joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic, buddy.
Well,
I truly enjoyed watching you and your son make your trip around the southeast of the baseball game. You're going to get dead of the year as far as I'm concerned.
Well, my ambition is how much he will remember of it when he's older. But he thinks, like, this is just normal. This is what kids do during the summer. They go on cross-country trips with their father. So,
well, good for you, buddy. I wish my dad would have done that with me.
Well, anyway, let's talk about you for a moment. I mean, I don't think it's any secret, but you're making it official today. Talk a little bit about what lies ahead for you.
So we are at the Foley City Hall. We're going to have an official kickoff here. I want to be on your radio program first and let folks know that we are going to be running for the congressional seat, District 1. It's going to be an open seat, and we're going to run based on being, the American First agenda and supporting President Trump and especially the tariff war. And we're excited to get started. Today will be the kickoff day, and we'll run hard and heavy all the way to May the 19th, I believe it is, Jeff. I hadn't said it enough times to remember it, but I am so excited to get back in the heat of things.
Well, talk about that decision. Now, there's a lot of speculation. I mean, early on, Jerry Carl might run for mayor of Mobile. There were other opportunities, I think, that you were presented with. But you have chosen to run for, I guess, what we could call your old seat. Talk about that decision-making process.
Well, you know, I don't talk about my faith, but I'm a pretty solid Christian, and I prayed, you know, the mayor's race. I took 90 days, Tim and I, we prayed together. If you understand, we actually made we put it out there before God. We got no answer on it. So mayor was out of the picture. We had planned on not retiring, but my wife calls it a sabbatical, and I've been doing a few things, kind of taking care of myself. And lo and behold, when Barry decided to run for Senate, I felt like I was really led to get back in the race here, which we're doing today, and we're excited about that.
Well, and, I guess my first question would be this, and you know, it's a completely different district from now. You ran for it in the last cycle, but it's a completely different district now. We've seen Barry Moore at the helm there, grappling with that from Dothan, from Houston County to the Grand Bay to Mobile County. And, you know, what do you do? What do you do different from when you ran in 2024? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, this race is going to be about me. I love Toby Keith song about me, 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 you know, and that's what it's going to be, just about me. We're going to try to make it a very positive campaign. As far as the Wiregrass, I've been over in the Wiregrass for the last month, talking to folks and moving around, trying to get an idea of how we can combine. I think the smartest thing for us to do is try to figure out how, from a business standpoint, how we can make the two merge together. I started with that when the consulate from India actually came in Mobile, and I got to spend some time with him a couple of months ago, and I talked about peanuts and cotton, you know, and shipping it obviously through the port. and Peanuts and Cotton, obviously coming from not just our the old district, but also the new district. So I've already started on trying to figure out how to blend both of these old districts into one district, because if it's going to work, we have to be one district. We have to work together. We can't be two different districts. We can't be the old district and the new district. We have to be the district. So that's going to be my focus on this race and getting the Wiregrass folks to understand who I am and what I'm about. You know, if you think about me and my, and I think about my life, I wrote this down the other night, and it really kind of surprised me, but I got 40 plus years of being in business for myself. Signed every check, looked at every financial statement, hired a lot of people, worked with a lot of people. You know, I have 8 years in local government, and I had 4 years in Congress. So I've got a, you know, I've got a background, I've got a pedigree that I, you know, I need to get people to understand, because I won't be that person they're going to have to wait to get training, on-the-job training. I've got it. I understand it. Whether it's economic development projects, in fact, I'm still working on two right now. Again, I'm not in office, but I'm still trying to push, you know, our community. It's all about our community. It's not about Jerry, but we're excited to get out there and start getting this. I'm excited the idea of getting back in Congress. There's so many things I did not get finished that I want to get finished. And so many things that are new that we want to get in the hopper.
Well, the political landscape's changed since you left. Obviously, I think, you know, you go from Biden to Trump. And, you know, now you've been in, you got to be in the majority for 2 years for one term. But having that White House, having the administration kind of on your side, talk about that as a difference from your first go around.
Well, you know, my first go around, the 4 years I was there, obviously I had Biden the whole time. So when I left there and we knew Trump was taking over, I told all my colleagues at an open meeting when they told me goodbye, I told them that I'd taken them through the hard times and I was going to turn it over to them and they could enjoy the good times, which was with Trump. And there's a little bit of truth to that, but there's a, you know, especially this next 30, 45 or 60 days, it's going to be a tough time to be a congressman in Washington, D.C. You got, they're going to be hammering out budgets. They've got to take this DOGE stuff. I think that's one area they've been very weak. Most people think the president can, with a stroke of a pen, change that. That is not true. They'll actually take Congress to start pulling those and cutting them from appropriations, you know, from our budgets. And that's where I'll be. I get my seniority. I get to go back on the committees, provided there's a spot. And usually there's always a spot. But, you know, you take that DOGE stuff, and that's kind of your map to go in and start cutting, you know, where it's at. But it's been a struggle for me to sit back and watch over the last 8 months and watch, you know, my colleagues not talk about that. I think they should be talking about it more because people are frustrated. I want to see people go to jail. What I want to see. I want to see somebody pay for all this abuse of money. Now, when I was on appropriations, I cut a lot of money out, a lot of money, especially in the LGBTQ community in foreign countries, primarily Central and South America, just huge amounts of money. So I managed to get those cut. Now, I wasn't on committees for other areas, but that needs to be the normal in Washington. We need to just take an axe to it and chop it because you don't know what's going to happen. 3 years from now, we may get a Democrat president. We may have lose control of the House or the Senate. You know, you say, oh, well, we're not going to lose control. Anything's possible in Washington, D.C., anything. So I'm excited to get up there and fight. I'm excited to get up there and support the president in his tariff wars. I understand them. I don't always agree with everything on those tariffs issues, but I want those everyone to understand the tariffs will work and it's going to work long term. I do not want to return. I know the president's talking about sending everyone a tariff check, and I think that is not a good idea. I want that money to go straight to paying the debt down that keeps hanging out there over my grandchildren's head I want that debt paid down and out of the way.
Well, and one of the things, and this came up during your last election, the amount of resources, the amount of just money put toward the Ukraine-Russian conflict, you know, you look at it now, I don't know how much has changed or if it's a different, you know, even a different landscape than it was 3-4 years ago. But where are you on that these days? What do you think of the progress being made there?
Americans first. Very simple. Americans first. Now, I know the president came out in favor of it because he's going to swap armor for rights to their rare minerals. I like that idea. I like that concept. I don't know that it will actually work out that way. But I like that concept, but I am not in favor of sending any more money to Ukraine. But I'm also not in favor of letting the Russians take the Soviet Union, as I call them, take over Ukraine. The president, I think, is doing a fantastic job trying to moderate between those two. I think what we saw in Alaska told me a lot, because I understand a little bit of what's going on in the background. For him to call Ukraine to come to D.C., and talk, that means they got quite a bit accomplished. I think they probably got a map laid out. Now they just need Ukraine to agree or disagree, and then let them, you know, everyone go do what they know they need to do. You know, you got a war over there. They're traveling. You got 5,000 to 7,000 men getting killed a week, the Russians do. I mean, they don't even send bodies home anymore. They're just cremating them in the field. They can't process the deaths. So, there's every reason in the world for Putin to end the war. So we've got to figure out a way. And if you remember way back, I talked to you, I said, we have to give him an out. He's that type of person. You have to give him a way out of it. So, and the president is certainly smart enough. I'm sure he has put something together, which will amount to geographic, my guess, would be a land or map issue.
So that has kind of split up a lot of, you know, pitting some of my friends against one another, and it's still in that foreign policy realm. Trump's move to on Israel, Israel being obviously a focal point of a foreign policy for this administration, and the decision to, you know, drop bombs on Iran. What do you make of that? What is the appropriate U.S. foreign policy on the Israel question?
So the Israel question is pretty easy for me. I'm cut and dry. I've never changed. I've never moved. I'm pro-Israel. I knew all those kids that got butchered when they came over that fence and they butchered all those kids. I played with those kids. Myself and Kevin McCarthy and our wives, and we all played with those kids a year before they just got butchered. And you can't negotiate with people like that are willing to just butcher children. So I'm a firm supporter of Israel. I'm a firm supporter. They have to clean that place up. It's their country. It's their land. And if you've ever been to Israel, they're a lot more open. Their elections and their elected officials, they're a lot more open than we are. They've got one of everything that sits on their committees. I mean, it's different religions, different sex backgrounds. I mean, everything. So the Israelis have done a good job of trying to make everyone comfortable and become one, but Hamas is not going to allow that to happen. So you've got to end it. And the only way to end it is to, like rats, you've got to run them out. Unfortunately, they're using human shields. That's nothing new. That's been done in war forever and ever. But they're using human shields, which is young children, which is very, very frustrating and hard to watch.
Joined by former Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program for just a couple more minutes. Well, you know, we got a lot of time ahead of us before the Republican primary in May. But what do you do? What does that look like here? We'll wind it down on this. What do the next several months look like in the campaign? How hard do you go at the beginning? Or, you know, what is it a, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right?
It is a marathon, but you got to remember you've got Christmas and New Year's, and you got Mardi Gras, and you have some spots in there that you really can't get out and do things. So you take that out, we've probably still got a solid 6 months or more of campaigning, and we've already got schedules laid out. We're already booking speaking engagements. We're hustling. You know, have to raise money. I know no one wants to talk about that, but you know, a campaign like this will be about $1 million. So we have got to start raising money to pay for it. But in the same process, we can't lose sight of. In that process, we can't lose sight of, you know, who ultimately makes the decision, which is the voters. So we're going to take it to them, Jeff. It's going to be a totally different campaign. I wasn't kidding about the Toby Keith song. It's about me, me, me.
Yeah, and you know, you're going to run. You are going to, and we could discuss the differences at another time, but it's going to look different than the 2024 run, I assume.
By all means, I don't care to talk about anybody but myself. I want to be positive. I want to dip into those 40 years plus of private business. I want to dip into that 8 years of local government and 4 years in Congress, and I want to show people how I can use those life experiences and get the job done better. Better. I've just sat 8 months on the sideline. You know, Trump sat 4 years on the sideline. I sat 8 months on the sideline. I learned more in that 8 months than I probably have in 10 years, just watching and reading and learning, you know, coming to the realization of how some things work and how some things don't work. So, again, we're going to hit it hard. We've got everything laid out. We have plenty of time. If somebody wants to get us on speaking engagement, we'll certainly get them penciled in. All they need to do is go to jerrycarl.com and send us a note, let us know, or, reach out to us, in some form or fashion.
Carson, best of luck to you. I'm sure you'll be on regularly on this program and on this station, but we will talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you. That was Jerry Carl making it official. He is running for Congress for the 1st Congressional District. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth.